Good morning, Abotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are in the second pasuk, discussing Batahba le Bala, that a husband and a wife, for that matter, when they feel secure from their spouse, they have strength and they have Siyata Dishmaya, and they are able to win the wars of life. That's what we've been discussing. And we've been talking about the exact ways that a person can invest themselves in order that their spouse should feel that security. It's not as simple as just have security. It's an investment on each side. Today we're going to talk about perhaps the most important investment. It's maybe one of the hardest, because perhaps there are those that will say, it's not really in my hands. When something is in my hands, so as hard as it is, I'm able to put in the effort if I wish, and I can make it happen. But when things are out of my hand, so it becomes a lost cause. There's really nothing to do. And this area is for many people something that they assume is out of their control. And therefore, there's no sense of working on it because it's not something they can actually make happen. Chaye Adam said, in Ilchot Kibud Abayim, we've mentioned this before, that when it comes to honoring one's parents, there are three sections that one needs to pay attention to. Number one, I'm not saying it in the order that he wrote it. Number one is you have to serve them with your actions. Bema'aseh. You have to give them things. You have to take them places. You have to buy them things. That's called action. The Chaye Adam says also, one must honor their parents with dibur, with words, the way he speaks to them, the way he speaks about them. And the third section, he says, is mahshava. Interesting. There's kibud avaim, the mahshava, with your thoughts. How you think about your parents is part of the laws of kibud avaim. In the words of the Chaye Adam, that a son or daughter needs to look at their parents and view them as gedolim, as great people, ve'nichbadei aretz, and from the most honorable people on planet Earth. That's the thoughts that a person needs to have of his parents, that they are the most hashu, that they are gedolim, and they are very honorable. Three sections: ma'aseh, action; dibur, words; and mahshava, thoughts. There are those who will be surprised to hear this third section. They maybe never heard about it. But even more surprisingly, the Chaye Adam says that the mahshava is the most important. He said it's not possible that a person will honor his parents with his words and his actions, and his thoughts are not in line with the way that he is talking to them, about them, or doing things for. And therefore, says the Hayya Adam, the most important part of Kibud Avaim is your mahshava, is your thoughts. And when it comes to investing in a spouse, in a husband, in a wife, more than the actions and more than the words, a person must invest in their thoughts. That's a thought that probably many didn't think about. Are you invested in your thoughts for your husband? Are you invested in your thoughts about your wife? And of course, to other relationships as well. What does it mean that my thoughts have to be invested in my spouse? It means that a person in his mind needs to have thoughts that see their spouse as a valuable, as a precious person worthy of ahava, worthy of love and respect. How does a person think about their parents that they're the greatest people? And to think about their spouse as such a wonderful person? And what is the difference if I think about someone who is going to know besides the Creator? Is this a mitzvah between me and God? But seemingly the only one that's going to know how I feel about my parents or about anybody is the Creator of the world. Nobody could see my thoughts. Hashem has hidden my thoughts from all people. So is this a mitzvah between man and God? So we have to answer those two questions. A, how does one think about someone in a certain way if they don't actually think about it right now? If I don't think my parents are such great people, so how am I supposed to change that? You know, in life, a person can act in a way they don't want to act. A person can be forced to do something they don't want to do. That's part of the way Hashem made the human. I can say what I don't really want to say. Really, I don't forgive you. But I'm going to say I forgive you. Really, I don't like you. But I'm going to say I like you. A person is able to say things they don't necessarily want to say. And do things that they don't necessarily want to do. But a person is unable to think of things that they don't want to think about, or that they don't think about. If I don't think this person is valuable, if I don't think this person is important, well, that's what I think. Take it or leave it. This is who I am. How can I change my thoughts? My thoughts are so part and parcel of me that I wouldn't be able to fake it. My actions are just an extension of me. My words are an extension of me. So I could fake words. I could fake actions. Because they're not me. They're something that comes out of me. But my thoughts are who I am. So I can't fake who I am. Not possible. So if I think a certain way about someone or something, how do I change that? How could the Hayei Adam expect me to look at my parents and say, oh, they're the greatest people, when I know they're not the greatest people? My mind says they're not the greatest people. So number one, you see from this Hayya Adam, you see from the halakha, a very important principle, that thoughts, mahshava, is within our power. How to get there, we have to talk about it. But that alone is enough to think about for a little bit. Not just in the examples we gave, but in other areas of life. Sometimes a person might think he is a captive to his thoughts. I have these kinds of thoughts. I can't get it off my mind. This is the way I see things. And a person might feel like a hostage to his mind. And we see from the Hayya Adam that it's not so. A person's thoughts can change. A person's mindset could take on a new understanding. You're now bound to your thoughts. You can affect your thoughts. You can make your thoughts different than they are today. Of course we know thoughts change. That's not the Hiddush. The Hiddush is that you can make them change. That you can make your thoughts the way you want your thoughts to be. That's a very big Hiddush in life. If I don't like someone, it's possible to change and make my thoughts like them. I don't appreciate someone, I can change that. That in itself is a huge idea, a huge hiddush for most people. You're not a hostage to your mind. You're not a hostage to your opinions. You can make those changes. How to do it? It's like how you do things to develop things in your physical body. Person has muscles. They're there. Somewhere hidden in his body. He's very skinny right now. He's very weak. A person might look and say, oh, this guy has no muscle. God created him with no muscle. But we know that if a person puts in the right effort to focus on their muscles and to do the actions appropriately, soon enough you'll see the person was born with muscles. And here they are. All of a sudden, he looks different. He's stronger. It's within our ability to bring out the muscles that are hidden. And so too, there are thoughts in our minds that are hidden. And with the proper workout, with the proper exercise and the proper training, a person is able to bring out those thoughts. And those thoughts become his, like his muscles become his. They were always his. He just had to get them out. There is a system. How to bring out what's sitting dormant in a person. You just have to know how to do it. And you have to want to do it. It's not automatic. It's not automatic that you think good things about people. Not even your own parents. In fact, sometimes the people closest to you, you have the hardest time thinking beautiful thoughts about them because you know so much about them. Other people might think they're great people, but I know my parents. That's why when a person is dating, usually the relationship is very strong and the feelings are very strong. But as a person spends more time and the days and the weeks and the months and the years go by, you start to uncover many hidden, not treasures, many hidden issues that you weren't aware of when you were dating. When you were dating, you saw the greatest person. But as you get to know them, all of a sudden, you see not such great things. And your thoughts change. Your first thought of the person while you're dating was A, today it's B. I mean, you're still married to them, and you're making the best of it, as people say. You're surviving. But your thoughts have changed. You now see an annoying person. You see a person who is unhappy. You see a person who is careless for certain things. Whatever it is, each person. And that becomes your new view of the person. And it becomes your thoughts. The closer you are to somebody, the more difficult it is to have good thoughts about them. Having good thoughts about strangers is much easier. And even that's hard. But it's easier than the people that you're spending so much time with. So a person needs good exercise in this area. And we have to know that the key to having a good opinion of someone, and our thoughts should be in line with that goodness, is that a person must be able to know how to focus his mind. It's all about focus. We have a rule in the halakha of Berachot. It's called Eikar and Tafel. Eikar is the main thing. Tafel is the secondary. When a person is eating bread, for example, they make one beracha on the bread. It is the Eikar. It's such an overwhelming main part of the meal that everything else in that meal becomes secondary. And therefore, we don't make berachot on it because it's covered by the bread. A person, the people that we know, the people we're married to, our friends and family, we must realize the reality is, I don't know what percentage to give, but they're 95% beautiful. Probably more than that. The overwhelming majority of that person is wonderful. They work hard, they have kindness, they have Yirat Shamayim, they have care for their children, they care for their friends, they take care of their parents. You're married to someone, you have to know. 95%, if not more, of that person is beautiful. That's the Eikar. That is the main. Might they have some struggles? Might there be some things about them that are not yet perfect? Probably. But it's a very small percentage. Unfortunately, that's the way Hashem made the world, so we can't even say unfortunately. It's one of the challenges of life. Is that our eye and mind automatically connect to the negative. And it becomes our opinion of the total person. Instead of seeing the 95% as the reality, we focus on the things that annoy us. We focus on the things that we don't appreciate. But it's not only 5% in our mind. It becomes the opinion of the entire person. Because where you focus is what you judge as. When I look at a person, there's a judgment call. Great, good, fair, terrible, evil. When I look at a person, there's a judgment call on the entire person. That's a reality. We do that with every person. That's not going to change. But the question is, what tools are you using to make that judgment call? Are you looking at a great person? Well, it depends. It depends on where you're focused. How could you have such high regard for your parents? Very simple. Because you know more good about your parents than anybody else knows. And therefore, you're capable of seeing them as great people, even if others do not view them as such. Because you know so much more about them. You know the many things that people can't know. You've seen how your mother behaves in certain situations. You've seen your father do things that are not in the public eye. So therefore, in your mind, they could be the greatest people. Nobody else thinks that because they don't know them. At the same time, if your lens is focused on the negative, you can be more negative about your parents than anybody else too. The more you get to know somebody, you're going to become more familiar with the 95 and with the 5. And therefore, it's important and critical. It may sound not so normal to do this. That's what the world has become. But it is a mandate of every husband and wife and every caring relationship that a person needs to change their focus. And that's not easily done just like sitting in a class like this. Just like it's not enough to talk about muscles in a class and you walk out with muscles. A person needs to exercise that focus. What does it mean to exercise it? It means to take out a pen and paper and write down the many, many, many thousands of qualities and many thousands of good things that this person has done, continues to do, and will do. Make a column of all the things and write them down. You could take one day's worth and just see how much good that person has done for you, for your children, for your family, for their friends. Itemize it. Don't generalize. Generalization is a yetzer hara. When you generalize, you feel like you've done the job, but you've done nothing. For example, just saying how great Hashem is. Marabu ma'asecha Hashem. Oh, Hashem, how great are your creations? That's a generality that does very little for the person. If you don't study the details of each creation and focus on the details of the small things one by one, if you don't see the thousands and thousands and endless amount of creations in detail, you will not appreciate the Creator. Even though you said, Hashem, you're so great. Your actions, your creation is awesome. Doesn't mean anything. Yetzer hara. When you generalize, yetzer hara. I know my wife is good. No. Yetzer hara. You don't know. To know really know that it should be your opinion, that your thoughts should be in line, you have to take each one and give it a little time, an investment. The way he does this, the way she does that, the way every little detail creates a greater appreciation and is a workout of the mind muscle. They are great people. They were great people. And before they would walk into the house on Friday nights, they would spend a few minutes thinking about all the details that had to go in from the wife, their wife. How much detail had to go into that Friday night that's about to happen? Start from the beginning, Bereshit. From Tuesday, from Wednesday. The thoughts, the effort, the care, the detail. 2 minutes is not enough for one Friday night, but it's a good start. A person who thinks about his wife is wonderful, she made a great Friday night dinner, not enough. Zietzara, generalization. Take 2 minutes and think about the many details that make up that night. It's a different kind of thought. It's a different kind of appreciation. So whether you're writing it, whether you're thinking it, today thinking is hard to do. People can only think for like 3 seconds. So by the time 3 seconds pass, they can't continue thinking. Their mind is elsewhere already. That's why recommended is writing. Don't be afraid to do it. Do it. Nobody has to see the paper. Write down. And as the days go, you can write more and more. And even the things that you wrote about yesterday, it happened again today. If we don't get our thoughts busy, focusing on the good of somebody, automatically the mind is going to take us to the negative, even if it's a small percentage. Yes, the Haye Adam says you, and only you, are capable of seeing your parents as the Gedolim, as the great people on planet Earth. Only you could do that. Because you know so much more about them. You've seen so much good that they do that people don't know. People look at your father and your mother, they see a regular guy. You see a great person. But only if you exercise your thoughts to focus on all the things that they accomplish. This is a very serious matter. That a person exercise their mahshava. And it has to be something that we constantly work on. Obviously, this mahshava process develops a person's mind to view the good. And all of a sudden, that same outlook changes not only for their spouse and for their parents, but it becomes a way of life. And you start seeing people that way as well. Just like if a person would exercise their muscle because they want to carry a certain box up the steps. But once they have the muscle, they can use it for any box they want. A person who exercises their mind to focus and see the good in the people that are close to them, all of a sudden will find that same outlook on all the people around them. And of course, that changes every part of their life for the better. The thoughts that we broadcast to our spouse is the most important part of their security. The most important part of their feelings come from not our actions and not our words. Our feelings go a long way. And if you ask me, who is able to see these feelings, my thoughts are mine. What does she know about my thoughts? What does he know about what I think? What's the difference? So for that, we have two answers. Answer number one is what David just said. And you have to know that many times in a relationship, there are blow-ups. A person blows up. He says the wrong words, does the wrong thing. And if anyone would look at the circumstance that caused the blow-up, they'd say, come on for that. You said that because of this. You did that because that happened. Come on. That's not a reason. Because she was late on dinner, so you got crazy. Because he came home late that night. He told you he's coming in 10 minutes. He came an hour. That's why you blew up? Come on, doesn't make sense. Usually when you look at what people get all excited about, it's not really something that people would say is worth getting excited about. So much so that you might be accused of being a crazy person. But we know the real answer. The real answer is that a person bottles inside of them many, 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 many hours and days and weeks and months of negativity. When you bottle negativity in your mind, it's only a matter of time when you're going to blow up. Yes, the specific reason that you blew up is not enough. But that's not what really brought about your reaction. So many of our reactions come from this bottling of negativity. So yes, it makes a difference what you think. Because it's only a matter of time where it's going to cause a major blow up, which will set your relationship back sometimes forever. Take a very long time to repair the wrong words that you said or the wrong act that you did. Like David brought a beautiful proof from the Meraglim, from the spies. You just read about the spies, that they were punished. Am Yisrael was punished because of what they did and their reaction to it. How was the punishment exactly given? So Hashem said, for every day they were there for 40 days, for every day, you're going to have to stay in the desert another year. Yom Lashana, 1 day, 1 year. And the famous question that's asked regarding such a punishment is that it seems to be an unfair, it's not midah keneged midah, it's not measure for measure. The actual sin of the Meraglim is that they came back and they spoke. They spoke for an hour, they spoke for 2 hours, even if they spoke the entire day. The sin was the talking negatively, which happened in a short time. The 40-day mission was not in itself a sin. Moshe Rabbeinu sent them with Hashem's permission. Shelach lecha anashim. Send, go take them. Tell them to go. Why are they being accounted for negatively for the 40 days? It's the words that they said that caused the destruction. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says, Alav HaShalom, that what you see with their words, that was a product of 40 days of negativity. 40 days of looking and seeing the wrong things in Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, 95% perfect, 98%, 99%. But somehow they saw the negativity, even in the blessing. Hashem sent them a blessing and they translated it to something negative. The land of Israel is perfect. It's more than 95, he says. But they somehow saw negativity, even in perfection. You want to know why they spoke at the end of 40 days? Why the blow-up happened? Because 40 days of negative thoughts. And that is true in all relationships. When you see blow-ups, it's a product of negative thoughts. So if someone is wondering why it's so important to have good thoughts, because it's only a matter of time when your thoughts will come out. And when they come out, it'll be an atom bomb. And people might be surprised by your reaction. Seem to be not appropriate. But they don't know your thoughts. But they will know your thoughts. That when you see such a reaction, you know where the thoughts have been for the last 40 days or the last 40 years. That's one critical reason why the thoughts have to be repaired. But there's an even greater reason. Not that the first one was too bad, but it's a greater reason why our thoughts about a person need to be in the proper, positive focus. Because Shlomo HaMelech in Mishle gives us a chidush, something that we were never on our own think is reality. But he makes us aware of it. That's why we need him. The wise man teaches us what we don't know. And he says one of the great life principles, his famous words, Kamayim apanim lapanim. He says, just like when a person puts his face in the water, looking at the water, look at the pond, look down, and you're going to see the reflection of your face in that water. Kamayin, just like water reflects panim la panim, just like water reflects my own face to see my face in the water. My face in the water is looking back at me. He says, Ken leva adam la adam. So too the thoughts of a person is to another person's thoughts. There are so many levels to this hidush. But for today, we're going to just say one simple point. You see from this statement of Shlomo HaMelech, there's so much more depth to the statement. But I'm going to say the most simple, very simple. You see from here that the thoughts of a person are actually broadcasted. That people feel how you feel about them. They pick up those signals. They may not be able to say what they wear and how and what. But know that if you have a negative feeling about somebody, they feel negativity somewhere inside of them. There's a broadcast that goes from thoughts to thoughts, from heart to heart. It bypasses all the other faculties. It's not a word, it's not an action. Nobody can describe exactly why and how. It's a direct hit. Actions and words, they're not direct hits. Through words, you could translate the feelings. Through actions, you could translate the thoughts. But thoughts themselves are a direct hit. They don't even need something in between to translate. A person right away feels it. And even if they're not in front of you, they're invisible. They don't need the physical rules. You have to be close to someone to punch them. You have to be close to someone that can hear your words. That's physical rules. But this is an invisible issue. And invisible issues don't need to be in close proximity. A person could be 10,000 miles away, and my thoughts are able to reach their thoughts. That's the most elementary part of this Hiddush. That my thoughts are broadcast and is felt by the other person. So I could have a wife sitting at home feeling insecure, and it's because of me. Because somehow my negativity, the way I think about her, is being felt. And therefore, she lost security. I'm not even making a joke about her to my friends. I'm not even saying a word. I'm not nothing. But the fact that my thoughts are the way they are, it's hitting home by her. She may not even, again, she will not know how to explain it. But it's there to create security in another person that you care about. Your thoughts have to be in line. It's a very big avodah. Like I said, listening to a class isn't going to do the job. A person must really focus. It's not hours. It's not so hard. You don't have to pay anybody. It's a few minutes a day. Take down a piece of paper and write down qualities of the people that you like, and then the person's thoughts all of a sudden start to focus on all the important things, and the appreciation and the love follows. And all of a sudden, yeah, all of a sudden the husband feels strong, feels secure, because of a woman that's writing on a piece of paper in a private area about their thoughts, about her thoughts. Nobody could see where she is. So, you know, she's in a locked up room. And all of a sudden, somehow the security to her husband is being more felt because of her exercises and her thoughts. Very big avodah in life. The avodah of the machshavah, the avodah of the person's thoughts. Not only is it relevant, not only is it possible, it's crucial. And it's the most important part of a relationship. Even though not what normally viewed and seen. But this is reality. Mahshava is the key. The key way to express your feelings about someone is the way you think about them. Have a wonderful day.